Before the case could go to trial, the president suddenly declared El-Mahri to be an enemy combatant, whereupon the charges against him were dismissed by the civilian court, and he was sent to a military prison indefinitely. We need to come to our senses. It cannot be tolerable for the president to have the right to detain people indefinitely, even for life, and not even permit them to review the charges against them. The argument is not that criminals or terrorists should be let loose. Constitutionalists are merely saying that people are at least entitled to confront the charges against them. The case of José Padilla is especially striking. We first heard that Padilla was planning to set off a radiological bomb, a dirty bomb, in an American city. The government never wound up charging him with that offense, which it had wrung from him by torture. The charges it did finally bring against him were rather more vague and less interesting. But the federal government did not bring charges against him right away. Instead, Padilla was declared an enemy combatant and therefore sent to prison indefinitely without any charges being brought against him. The only reason charges were finally brought against Padilla some 3.5 years later is that the administration was afraid that the Supreme Court would rule against its treatment of him. By hearing his case, the administration could head off the court by declaring that Padilla had received the trial he sought and that his complaint was therefore moot. During the 3.5 years he was in custody, Padilla was made to endure various forms of torture. Kept in solitary confinement, Padilla was subjected to variations of sleep deprivation. Noxious fumes were introduced into his cell. His cell was made extremely cold for long periods of time. He was drugged, disoriented, and threatened with all manner of gruesome fates. It is time for us to wake up. We have allowed the president to abduct an American citizen on American soil, declare him an enemy combatant, a charge the accused has no power to contest, which is rendered by the president in secret and is unreviewable. Detain him indefinitely, deny him legal counsel, and subject him to inhumane treatment. How can we not be concerned about such a thing? Have we been so blinded by propaganda that we have forgotten basic American principles and legal guarantees that extend back to our British forebears 8 centuries ago? This is an outrageous offense against America and her Constitution. Claims that these powers will be exercised only against the bad guys are not worth listening to. In April 2006, Pulitzer Prize-winning Associated Press photographer Bilal Hussein was detained by the American military in Iraq, joining at least 14,000 others around the world who have been similarly detained by the U.S. government. He has not been charged with a crime, and demands for information from the Associated Press were met with stonewalling. The AP unsuccessfully demanded his release, or at least that formal charges be filed against him. The AP was finally told that their photographer had been involved in the kidnapping of 2 journalists in Ramadi, but this story didn't hold water. The journalists in question said that Hussein had actually been very helpful to them after their release, when they had no car and no money. That unpersuasive story did nothing to remove the widespread suspicion that the real reason for the AP photographer's detention involved his photographs of the war zone, which were said to have displeased American officials. What has happened to our country and its image around the world, and why are we allowing it? In this book, I have tried to make as few references to specific pieces of legislation as possible, because my preference is to focus on ideas rather than minutiae, and I have never had much interest in assembling a policy manual. I need to make an exception here, since a piece of legislation I introduced into Congress in late 2007 concisely reflects my views on civil liberties and executive power in light of the war on terror. I am referring to the American Agenda Act of 2007. Among other things, the legislation repeals the Military Commissions Act of 2006, forbids the use of statements extracted by torture as evidence in any civilian or military tribunal, subordinates the executive surveillance activities to the requirements of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, gives the House of Representatives and the Senate legal standing to contest in court any presidential signing statement that indicates the executive's intention to disregard any provision of a bill and provides that nothing in the Espionage Act of 1917 prevents any journalist from publishing information received from the executive branch or Congress unless the publication would cause direct, immediate, and irreparable harm to the national security of the United States.